We all survived another week.
Yeah.
Isn't that special? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says.
It is my ruling guide.
It is my ruling guide.
To my daily living.
My daily living.
I will read it.
I will read it.
I will use it.
I will use it.
I will study it.
I will study it.
That I might gain wisdom.
That I might gain wisdom.
Through my obedience.
Through my obedience.
To his commands.
To his commands.
Which will lead me,
to
eternal life,
with
him. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Ezekiel this morning. But before we begin there, I want to tell you kind of what went on in Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3. And this is the short Reader's Digest condensed version. Ezekiel is warned at the outset that he's being called to a life of hardship and a life of persecution. Now, how would you feel if you knew that's what you were being called to? His message was delivered to him in the form of a book that came direct from God. And he was commanded to eat that book, page by page. Now, whether God meant that literally or figuratively, I think maybe out of the Greek it could have been deciphered instead of eat. It could have been to devour. To devour. You can devour a book in word, reading it out loud. You can devour a book by putting the words in your heart. You don't have to eat it. You don't have to eat it. But that's what he was commanded to do, was to take this book and to eat it. That was what he was commanded to do. And the Bible goes on to tell us that the book was sweet, which seems to mean that he found joy in being God's messenger, even though his message was one of woe. This book, it is a book that is sweet. It is a book that brings joy. It's a book that brings repentance. It's a book that points out who you really are. But you know, the thing is, it doesn't necessarily point it out at me, it points it out to you. So you must devour this book also, just as Ezekiel was commanded. Eternalizing the book signifies that it has been thoroughly digested when you internalize it. And his message, the message of the book, became a part of him. Does that sound familiar? We're supposed to not just read the Word of God. We're supposed to live the Word of God. And you can only do that by devouring the Word and internalizing it to what it is to you. What it means to you. You know, we've talked about reading John 3:16, for instance. Now, we all know what it means globally, but what does it mean to you individually? I could preach on that verse and preach, you know, 7 or 8 messages out of that one verse, because there is so much there that needs to be internalized. But we're going to find here in Ezekiel that things kind of got a little worse for Ezekiel when he began to perform the work that God wanted him to do. See, God seemed to lay upon Ezekiel responsibility for the doom of his nation. That was laid upon him. How would you feel if If God came out and said, Carl LaFoy, the United States is in the position it's in because of you. Boy, that'd be pretty heavy, wouldn't it? Well, the truth be known, this world's in the shape it is because of us. We've not got out to do what we're supposed to do. But he was also warned that God would, at times, impose silence upon him. This being a caution to Ezekiel to speak, not his own ideas, but what God commanded. How many times have you been reading the Bible and you just sit there quietly with your eyes closed, just thinking about what you just read and how to internalize it? There's so much in the Bible that we need to put in here and remember it each and every day. And internalizing the Word of God. But most of all, I want you to remember this morning, it's not his ideas, but God's ideas. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwell by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray this morning that Ken will be quiet and your words will come forth. It's not my message, Lord, it's your message. And I pray this morning that hearts are open to hear your word and that I am able to give unto you, Father, myself, that you might speak through me to them the message you would have us to have this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where it says there in verse 15, I sat where they sat. What was the advantage in that? 7 days he sat where they sat. What was the advantage? Well, number one, to be able to see what's going on. To be able to watch the people, the ones he wanted to reach for God. He was able to sit there and to see with his eyes their viewpoint. He was able to sit there where they sat and hear their position. He was able to know what was in the heart of those people who he felt he betrayed. He was able to know their heart. How? Watching and listening. Watching and listening. I got tickled this morning. I asked the kids up here, I said, when y'all go into class and everybody's talking, what happens? We get in trouble. I said, what does the teacher do? Nothing. Well, my first response is, how can you get in trouble and nobody do anything? You know? I guarantee you, when I'm in trouble, the Lord gets my attention real quick. Real quick. And then I told them about the trick that our coaches had, where if you were caught talking when class began, you'd come over there and you'd get your hand like this and he'd bend your back like that with your finger and he'd whop you across the palm of the hand with a ruler. I think that stung worse than getting a whip. I know it did because I was always getting my hand spanked. I talked in church and I talked in school. Why? I don't know. I didn't have anything to say. Now, I talk in Sunday school and I talk in church. I even talk in church on Sunday night. Thing is, though, it's not me. It's the Lord speaking to you through me, giving me the words. Because I got to tell you, Ken does not have any words of wisdom. They all come from the Lord. So we have to be quiet. Notice what's going on. Zach and I went through this in Sunday school today. You got a friend that you want to talk to about the Lord? You sit down. Talk to him about something. Find out what he's thinking. See what his viewpoint is. Then you know how to introduce the Lord to that person. You know, I can't go in there and use on Jill what works on Bill. I can't go in there and use on Joe what works on Gary. No. In fact, I don't think I can use that on anybody but Gary. But we have to have some sort of common bond with that person we're speaking with when we tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, how he came to live like we live, to understand the sins that we commit in our world today, to understand the temptations that we have, to understand how hard it is to live in this world. He came. And he died. For my sins and for your sins. And you know, if you had Jesus in your life, whatever that problem is that you have, God will take care of it. God can handle any problem, but we have to approach people on the level where they understand what we're presenting to them. For me to go up to an athlete and tell him that God heals, that might not be what he wants to hear. God can help you make that next hurdle. God can take you over it. That's a little different deal, isn't it? So, see, we need to know viewpoints and we need to understand positions. And that's what Ezekiel was doing. He sat where they sat to see what they saw, to hear what they heard, and then to find out what their position was now. See, the effect of doing that is, number one, it gives us a greater desire to help. It's a lot easier to help a person that you know what the problem is than it is to walk up and try to help somebody that you don't know they got a problem. It gives us understanding into the heart of others. So it gives us a great desire to preach and teach the Word of God. It most of all gives us a better understanding of their needs at the time. You know, it's a lot different counseling with someone who has a health problem than it is to counsel with someone who has a spouse problem. The words are different. But the message is the same. Jesus lives today. And he can do the things that you can't do. He can heal the things you can't heal. He can heal relationships as well as healing the physical body. But we have to understand the needs. It also allows us to give a more sympathetic appeal to them to come and know the Lord.
Well, Brother Carl, I know you're hurting and I know you have these problems, but you know, if you just come to the Lord, he can take care of that problem.
So we have to be able to confront them in a way that they understand where we're coming from and we understand where they're coming from. And that's what Ezekiel was doing. He sat where they sat. And he watched the way they watched. And he talked with them the way they talked, that he might get a better understanding. But you have to be careful, because sometimes if you go in there with the wrong frame of mind, it could bring to light anger. Anger at you for interfering. So we have to be careful the way that we do things. We have to kind of know what's going on. But before we can know what's going on, we have to prepare ourselves for what's going on. Lord, I'm going over and see Billy tonight, and I know he has a problem. Lord, don't know what it is, but I just pray that as I sit there and talk with Billy, that it will be revealed that I can talk to him about what you can do. But it can bring on anger. So you have to be careful in the way you present it. Have you ever thought about why it is that people sit in darkness, in captivity, and despair? If they're so unhappy, why do they sit there? And why do people sit in the sea of the scornful? Why do some people quit and sit down? Some are tired of being good. Some are tired of praying. Some are tired of going to church. Some are tired of giving to the church. But see, there's a key problem there. If they have a problem with those things in their life, they don't know the Jesus I know. Because the Jesus I know can address those problems. So as Christians, we have some things to do. First of all, as a Christian, it's time for us to wake up. Remember the directive we were given to go and tell. It's time for us to get up, to stand up and perform our Christian duty. It's time for us to stand up for the cross of Jesus Christ who died for us. And it's time for us to speed up while there's still time. How many of you believe we're living in the last days as described in the Bible? I think so. You know, there's a little tidbit here that I just want to let you know happened. So I was reading, going over everything this morning, and I saw that where, you know, we need to speed up. And I got to thinking, you know, the Bible says that a day here is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years. So if one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, then 1,000 years is like one day. So we don't know exactly how this would work out. But if you live to be 90, you live on this earth 90 years, then when you die, that means that you lived 0.09 of one day in the life of Christ, or in the life of God. When you sit down and figure that out, that's not very long. It's not very long at all. But here's the key. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Amen. I remember we used to sing that song every Sunday when I was in Sunday school. We'd all meet together, we'd sing this song, we'd break off our rooms. Sometimes we tend to forget that. It doesn't make any difference to me how long I'm here, as long as I'm doing what he sent me to do. We need to stop. We need to look. We need to listen. Stop and see what's going on around you. See the one, look at the one who needs you. And listen to their story. then introduce them to Jesus that can help that problem. We need to see their viewpoint. We need to understand their position. You know, before I could come to Christ, I had to understand the viewpoint of the pastor who was preaching. I had to see the viewpoint that he had. And I had to understand that Jesus died for me. That's all there is to any problem on the face of this earth. That's all there is. Jesus Christ. He can do it all. Amen. He can do it all. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have a Savior that's as powerful in this world today as the day He walked in this world. I'm glad for that. And if we do those things, it'll give us that greater desire. It'll give us that better understanding. It'll give us a sympathetic appeal on how to reach the lost of Christ. That's our job. That's what we're here to do. And you know, there's people that you see that I don't see. And you could be the only person, only Christian that ever sits down and talks to them. It's your job to tell them about your Jesus. I'm glad to know that every person here today has not only represented themselves to me as a Christian, I've seen evidence of it in their life. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. Because you stop and think. Where you're sitting today, maybe not in this church, but I'm talking about you're sitting in a service. The same place Jesus said. Right? That's how he learned, was sitting and listening to the scribes in the temple. But today also, we do not have to sit where we are today as a captive to this world. Every drop of his blood says, you do not have to die in your sins. Every drop. And it's still valid today. Tell me something else that we might have that spoke and lived as we lived on this earth that many years ago that's still around. I only know of three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can't do that. God the Holy Spirit. He's here. Okay, I should have wanted to do that again. Let me put on my football voice. He's here.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't that put a warm spot in your heart? That he's here. Not just today, but anytime we walk in those doors, he's here. Isn't it good to know that he's with you in your vehicle when you're traveling, driving around some of these crazy people?
Amen.
You know, to know that he's with you. To know that he's with you when you're on the job. He's here. Why do we allow Satan to be our captor when Jesus can and will set us free? Why would we want to sit and allow Satan to be in our life and be captive to him when Jesus is alive and well, waiting for us to come to Him. Is that not something special? My mouth is dry. I look around. All the kids up to age 2 that we have in the church now. All the babies that we have in the church now. I love looking out here and seeing a smile on whoever it is holding the baby. I saw Haley smiling a minute ago. Terry's smiling right now. Oh, Jill got a smile on her. Michael got a smile on him, too. Even Vanessa back there smiling. Isn't it great to know that God is blessing with newness in our church? Amen. And you know, the good thing is, all we had to do was to pray as the mothers went through this. And I've got to tell you this too, it doesn't have anything to do with it, but I'm going to tell you. You know how husbands have sympathy pain sometimes, they tell you that? Have you ever heard of that? When Belinda was in the operating room, I'm having sympathy pain. Boy, my right, my left hip, boy, it just hurt me. And then I happen to think, boy, I'm glad she's not in the maternity wing.
Me too.
But why did I say that? It's pain to have children. It's pain. But they bring such joy. They bring joy to me. And I'm just a pastor. Then Linda's sitting over there, a big old smile on her face. Isn't it great to know that God is blessing us as a church? Not me, He's blessing us all. And I'm thankful for that. Because God loves us. But you know, there comes a time in everyone's life that they have opportunity to come to Him for a thorough cleansing. And like I said, I think everyone here this morning has accepted Jesus as their Savior. But if I'm missing someone, if you've not ever accepted Jesus this morning, I'm begging you to come to Him today because time is getting close. Maybe if you need a renewing spirit, He can do it. If you're looking for a new church home today, Good Hope reaches out with open arms, and we're calling you to come as God leads. I can't tell anyone where to go to church. That's God's job. I'm just happy they're in church. But if you're looking for a new church home and God moves you, our arms are open to you this morning. And if you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to come. If I'm with someone, Brother Donald's here. He'll come and pray with you. But the altar, our altar, is open for the children of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for the words that You've given. And Father, I thank You that You are here today. I thank You that the Savior lives forever and will not die because of Satan. Satan will take his place in death. And I ask You, Lord, just to bless us now as we go to the altar call. And I ask You, Father, whoever it is that might need to come this morning, if You would just open the doors now and give them access, because we're here to receive. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.